a non-conclusive gain. So where is the individual body? Is it really but a mere Western construction that God willingly has imposed on cultures of others to ensure Protestant, Catholic, or pagan Western mind as superior? Roland Barthes, for once, did never feel the famous presence of the individual body, at least not in Western discourse, as he writes. Writing a certain text, he experienced a guilty emotion of jargon, as if he could not escape from a mad discourse, no matter how individual he made his utterance. And what if all his life he had chosen the wrong language? Maintaining the body of individuals alive within the work of writing is not an easy task. I, for one, feel that cultural relativism alone does not go very far in capacitating the needs of our time. In trying to deconstruct patterns of discriminating the body, why stop at the level of culture? Why place it in the history of colonialism? Why not place it in the here and now? Though many will not agree, I feel we are still too much attached to closed paradigms and, I might add, terminal explanations. I feel, however, that this is the result of a historical development in social sciences whereby, through the use of slippery consensus and causal change linking concepts of concerning consciousness, subconsciousness, freedom, detachment, involvement, and the absolute belief in a society as a natural given hierarchy created a system of reproduction that even in nature could not be found. And as Barthes so forcefully refused to be reproductive in his classification of individual bodies, either objective or subjective, the answer must probably lie there. If the social sciences would successfully succeed in questioning the objectivity of their language, they could simply replace objectivity by intersubjectivity, by consensus. But such classifications will never be able to fight the implications of language. If science and language have the capacity to create meaning with nothing at all, then what keeps both from opening up the individual expression? For Barthes, with or without response in classification through consensus, regardless of the consensual classifications, the individual body is alive, sometimes ignored but never absent. Unclassified by its dot-like impact, perhaps without a relationship of some fixed type, but still alive. For Sapir, the individual body and its potential for genuine culture was so apparent that he could not believe that the expressive force of language could ever disappear. And so, the individual body is there, living and perceiving in a dynamic here and now, untouched by symbolic reverence, an experience in its own right, communicating, nevertheless, unheard, but never unperceived, and certainly not meaningless. The threat of losing the individual body arises when scientists describe the body as a mirror image of a limited range, thereby creating a field of symbolic reverence which in fact does not exist, except as one type of classification. Instead of moving towards the body as a living language, they move away from the body, creating a dead authority, alive only in the discourse of science, art, or religion, or whatever cultural field of symbolic reverence one can imagine. As cultural anthropology has become more and more the study of cultural conflict, of multicultural societies, of racism and sexism, the use of general laws and the classification of general meanings of the individual body become more and more dangerous. Barthes' significance for cultural anthropology can be a positive one, as he writes, plural difference and conflict. According to Freud, one touch of difference leads to racism, but a great deal of difference leads away from it, irremediably. To equalize, democratize, homogenize, all such efforts will never manage to expel the tiniest difference, the seed of racial intolerance. For that, one must pluralize, refine, continuously. The individual body, like the punctum, moves along the imagery of history like a fly on the wall, whose movements are equally unpredictable as serendipity among scientists. The perceptual field is always open to everybody and quite without boundaries, but a gain in the capitalistic sense of the word, it is not.